Open up with me this morning to the book of Matthew, chapter 18, and I think it's verse 7. Pay very close attention today. When you're hearing God's word, give Him your attention. Try to keep your mind focused, because if you ain't careful, you can be in church but not in church.
Amen.
You can be sitting in here and God trying to give you a word, and the devil will make you be, you'll think you on at Panama City Beach or somewhere, or in the woods deer hunting, or out on a lake fishing, and you'll miss what God has to say to you if you don't stay focused, if you don't give Him your attention. So give the Lord your attention today, and let Him deal with your heart. I always tell the guys down at the county hotel that when I come in there, that they have to open up their heart. God has sent them messengers to speak to them, but they can't receive anything unless they open up. You know, a lot of people, when they go through hard times in life, sometimes they close up. They close their hearts. They close themselves up, and they don't open themselves up. They've been hurt, and they try to stick these things way down inside, back, way behind somewhere where they won't remember them, but they're still in there, and they don't open themselves up for God to reach in and take that stuff out. This Bible here, for instance, if it's closed, it can't be read.
Amen.
You can only know what's on the inside if you open it up. And the Lord, if we're going to let Him deal with our hearts, we have to open up. He won't force Himself on you. He won't force Himself in. You have to open yourself up. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, Jesus said, "I stand at the door and knock." And He said, if you open the door, He said, "I'll come in." So it's up to us to open the door. Jesus is standing at the door and He's knocking. And I tell you, I've been to church back when I was a sinner, drinking and drugging and everything. And every now and then I'd go to church. Somebody would invite me, and I would kindly go, I guess. Not looking to receive anything much. I wasn't looking to change. I was just going to go give it a shot. But a lot of time when I went there, I was so closed. I mean, it wasn't the preacher didn't preach anything that I needed. It was just I was so closed, the word couldn't get in. And I walked out of church many a time not knowing whether I was going to get a second chance to make that right. Thank God He was long-suffering with me and didn't give up on me, but gave me an opportunity to come to Him. And that was the best decision I ever made. But I had to open up my heart. I'm talking to somebody here this morning. You got to open your heart. The Lord's trying to tell you, you got to open up. Matthew, chapter 18. Today we're going to talk about the power of forgiveness. And you know, when someone starts talking about the word forgiveness, if you have unforgiveness in your heart, it's the day that the devil says to you, you picked the wrong day to come. Because a lot of times we don't want to deal with it. We don't want to deal with the issues of offense, the things that we've been hurt by. I don't know anybody walking the planet today that ain't been through something.
Amen.
That everybody on this earth has been offended from something.
Amen.
By someone, somewhere, sometime. People's been through divorce. People have stolen things from you. Some people have talked about you behind your back. Somebody has mistreated you. It goes around in this world. People love to step on others.
That's right.
That's just the way the world is. without the love of Jesus Christ, you're going to do people wrong. And today I want to talk to you about, if you're going to be a Christian and a successful, victorious Christian, there are going to be two things in your life you're going to need. Two things. Number one, you're going to need the love of God in your life.
Amen.
The love of God. The love of God has a name. It's called agape. That's the Greek word for the love of God. And the word agape means unconditional love. It's not based on merit. It's not based on performance. It's not based on how well you did. God loves you unconditionally.
Amen.
That's the love of God. And in John 3:16 it says, when God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. The Bible said, when we were still yet sinners, God demonstrated His love to us by sending us Jesus.
Amen.
That's the love of God. It wasn't based on, God wasn't sending His Son to die for us because we were perfect. We were sinners. All of us were sinners. The Bible says all have sinned.
Amen.
There ain't nobody in here that can say, I was born righteous and stayed righteous.
That's right.
Everybody that was born in sin.
Amen.
And, but Jesus Christ, He has given us the love of God. The Bible says in Romans 5 and verse 5 that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. It's just as if when we get saved and born again and washed in the blood and God's Spirit lives in us, it's as if God opens up the top of our head and just pours us full of His agape love. His love is in you.
Amen.
Whether you manifest it or demonstrate it is up to you. But the Bible said the fruit of the Spirit, the first one is love. Love. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's heavenly. But it's in you if you're a child of God. But you have to let that love be expressed through you. And when the love is expressed through you, hallelujah, then it will bear fruit in your life. But how many of y'all know, you just can't, as a child of God, you just can't love people that love you back. The Bible says it's easy to love those that love you.
Amen.
But how about those that don't love you?
That's right.
Those that rub you wrong. Kind of like a sandpaper dude.
That's right.
You know, every now and then, God may allow somebody to come into your life that's going to rub you wrong. Amen?
Amen.
Why? It's to test your love walk out. To find out where you are in your walk of love. Hallelujah. And if you ain't walking in love, when they rub you wrong, you'll go back into your older ways. And instead of loving them, you'll hate them. You'll get bitter with them. You'll want to slap them. You'll want to cuss them.
That's right.
If you ain't walking in the love
Amen.
Of God. So to be a successful Christian, number one, you have to walk in the love of God.
Amen.
Don't ever say you don't have it, because you'd be saying God is a liar. Romans 5:5 said, the love of God has been poured out in you. It's in there. It's in your heart. You have to let it go. Number two, if you want to be successful as a child of God, you have to learn to walk in forgiveness.
Amen.
Walk in forgiveness.
Right.
To forgive others. Now, let's go to Matthew 18, verse 7. Jesus said, woe to the world because of offenses. For offenses must come. But woe to that man by whom the offense comes. Jesus said, in this world, we're going to have offenses. And He said, it's impossible for these offenses not to come. So when you get up in the morning and you're getting ready for work or getting ready for your day, you have to already get ready and know that I might be offended today.
That's right.
I'm going to have an opportunity to be offended. Somebody at Walmart might offend me. Somebody in the grocery store, somebody while I'm out working might offend me. I might even go to church And if I ain't careful, somebody at church might offend me.
That's right.
You know how many people that have got mad at their own pastor because he wasn't able to shake their hand at the back door before they left? And they watched them shake maybe 90% of the hands, and somehow or another you got out the door and he may have been talking to somebody and he missed your hand. And people get mad and offended because they didn't get their hand shook, but he shook 90% of the others. You know, a lot of people are so easily offended. It amazes me how easily they can get upset with somebody. It's as if they put their feelings on their shoulder and a gentle breeze blows and they get offended.
That's right.
Their feelings get blown away. They get offended. Jesus said, offenses is going to come. That's if right. Jesus said it, it's true.
Amen.
Now, let me tell you what that word offense means. In the Greek, it's a Greek word called scandalon. And it means this, a trap stick. It means a snare. It means an occasion to fall. A stumbling block is what that word offense means. It's a trap. It's a snare. It's a stumbling block. It's an occasion to fall. So what happens is Satan sets a trap for us.
That's right.
The devil, that old serpent of old, he comes by, hallelujah, in our life and to see if he can make us stumble.
Yep.
He sees if he can get us into a snare, get us trapped. And what he does is set a trap for us. He baits us up with an offense. He'll send somebody by your way to offend you.
That's right.
And if you get offended, you took the bait.
That's right.
Think of a mouse trap. Anybody ever, back in the old days, I don't know about today, it seems like we don't have much mouse problem these days. But I have lived in houses that had lots of rats. When we lived in Donaldsonville, Georgia, when I was a little boy, we had rats out everywhere. I mean, you couldn't play hide and seek under the bed because if you got up under the bed, there'd be a rat coming out every now and then. And I'm talking about these weren't little little bitty rats. They were called wharf rats. Y'all know what a wharf rat is? He's about the size of a jackrabbit. Long tail. Woo! Anyhow, we had so many one time, no joke, that my daddy got fed up with them trying to kill them. And one time we had one run up in the couch. My daddy went and got his automatic 22 and started shooting the couch. Sure enough, he, I'll never forget it. I said, woo! Daddy is upset. He in the house, shooting the couch up. Man. But anyhow, we had rat problem. But I remember you would set a trap for a rat. Back then we had these old little, I mean, it didn't cost much, little old piece of wood like this, and you would flip that thing over and hook it in there, and then on the end of it, you put a piece of cheese. And then you set that thing where you think he might come out, behind the refrigerator, behind the cabinet somewhere. Anyhow, you'd be sleeping at night, you hear that thing go, boom! He said, oh, I got it. Next morning, you get up, you go check your trap. You got the rat on the trap. You know what attracted the rat to the trap? What the bait. Listen, you can set them traps all day long with no bait on them. That rat ain't messing with it. But you put some cheese on that bad boy or some peanut butter on that bad boy. And next thing you know, he's lured into a trap. And that's what you've got to look at, spiritually speaking, whenever the enemy sends an offense your way. You cannot afford to take the bait. You cannot afford to. If you get offended, you have went for the bait that he said, and you're going to get trapped and ensnared and become a stumbling block and stop up your blessings from God if you allow that unforgiveness to stay in your heart. You got to let the offenses go. They coming. They coming, but you got to have your mind and your heart already set that I'm walking in the love of God, and no matter what somebody tries to do to me, I'm not going to take the bait. I refuse to be offended because I don't want to stop up or lose my blessings from God. Amen. The devil has a reason for sending the offense. He knows it'll stop up your blessings. He knows it'll stop up your blessings. You can't afford to live in unforgiveness. Why? It's detrimental to your physical health. It's a proven fact that people that have unforgiveness, well, it usually starts with a root called bitterness. People get bitter with one another. And if you don't deal with it at a smaller level, it will just keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger and blossoming bigger till it comes a full-grown unforgiveness, which comes into hatred, and eventually hate can turn into murder.
Yep. Amen.
If you don't deal with it. Man, I tell you, so many people walk around with no joy and no peace because they won't walk in love and they won't walk in forgiveness.
Amen.
Some people want to hold on to it. They want to hold on to it. Not understanding that it's you that's going to be living, going to be losing the blessings while the other person is walking scot-free.
That's right.
Now, let's look at how important it is to forgive, because forgiveness is a huge thing in the eyes of God.
Amen.
Huge.
Amen.
It ain't no little bitty overlooked deal. You may say, well, I've been hurt. You don't understand the pain that I went through, and I ain't ready to forgive. I'm going to hold on to it. The longer you hold on to it, the harder your heart going to get.
That's right.
It's better to be like David. You mess up, hallelujah, ask for forgiveness.
That's right. Amen.
Somebody offend you, hey, you might get offended for a few seconds, but they say, hey, wait just a minute now. I see the trap being set here.
Amen.
Oh, I'm not going to take it. I choose to forgive.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 12. Matthew chapter 6, verse 12. The Bible says so much about this topic called forgiveness that it's probably going to be, there's no way we're going to cover it all today. We're just going to see what we can get to. But there's somebody here I know that I'm talking to, because the Lord put this on my heart. When he puts something on my heart, he knows who's going to be here. And he knows who's dealing with what. The Lord knows.
Amen.
And listen, the Lord's not trying to do nothing but bless you.
Amen.
But to bless you, you got to understand, I have to forgive. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. I must forgive.
Amen.
Whether it's small or whether it's huge.
That's right.
You must still forgive.
Amen.
I remember years ago, and there was an Amish family. And I can't remember what state this was in. I just remember that there was a gunman that came into their Amish, where the Amish live. And I think he killed five of the girls. Murdered them. Cold-blooded, just shot them. And that same day, when the TV reporters interviewed the Amish, I'll never forget, they all said that they already had forgiven the shooter. And I was like, wow, you ain't even got your baby in the grave yet. But you know what? That's forgiveness.
That's right.
Some, I know a lot of us could say, I don't know if I could do that. I don't know if I could do that. Listen, without the love of God, you can't do that.
That's right. That's right.
In your own natural human love called filial love or eros love, you'll never be able to forgive like that.
Amen.
It takes the agape love of God to be able to forgive like that.
That's right.
I remember Pop McCormick. He got me involved in the jail ministry. Pop McCormick was a man that was sentenced on death row. He was on death row because he used to rob stores and beat people, and he blowed a man up inside the prison. A man paid him to kill the man next door to him, and he rigged up a bomb with a radio, told the man to put it up to his ear and turn it on. When he did, it blew his head off. Paul McCormick was a bad dude. And he was so mean that the people that worked in the prison didn't even want to come feed him. That's how bad he was. They said Paul McCormick could cuss better than anybody they had ever heard. Said he invented cuss words. He was mean. I'm just telling you, these people that mean out there, that hard-hearted. But listen, he got saved in prison, born again. And after he got born again, eventually, the Lord got him off of death row. And when he was back out here working, he started a thrift store. And he worked very hard. It was called Sunrise Ministries over in Covington, Georgia. That was Pop McCormick's store. He gone to heaven now. But Pop McCormick told me one day, he said, Stacy, he said, I loaned a man came to me that I knew very well. He said, we were friends. And he asked me, would I loan him $10,000? And he paid me back in so-and-so time. And a few months, he said, I trusted the guy. He said, I gave him that $10,000 that I had worked so hard for and saved up. He said, that was a lot of money to me. Amen. He said, you know, that man never repaid me. He said, he won't even talk to me now. He took my money, he conned me. And he said he wouldn't pay me. He said, Stacy, he said, my old flesh, he said, I was going, he said, I already loaded my gun. He said, he's a child of God now. But he reverted back to the old ways. And he said, I'm going to kill him. And he said, on the way over there, he said, the Lord just convicted him. He said, you got to forgive this man. Just as I forgave you of all your sins, you have to also forgive him. Paul McCormick said, tears started coming down his face when he began to think about what all God had forgiven him for. And he said, how can I not forgive this man? The Bible says in Ephesians 4:32, it says that we have to forgive others just as God in Christ forgave us.
Amen.
Did y'all hear that?
Amen.
You have to forgive others just as God forgave you.
That's right.
Whenever you repented of your sins, did you hear God say, well, I ain't going to forgive you for that one yet? No. God forgave you. If you ask for forgiveness, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, that if you confess your sin, God is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
So that's why forgiveness is a biggie in the eyes of God. Because whenever you confess your sin, whenever you come clean, it don't matter what you have done, it don't matter how bad it was, you wouldn't tell nobody in the world, but you can confess it to God.
Amen.
And whenever you confess it to God, His blood comes washing over and cleanses you from all that sin. And then after you get cleansed,
that's right,
you're a child of God, and then somebody offends you, and then it can be little bitty or big. And sometimes we say, I ain't forgetting it, and I ain't forgiving it.
That's right.
And God said, wait just a minute. I didn't put no stipulations on forgiving you. I didn't put no conditions on forgiving you. Whenever you ask for forgiveness, so you can't put no stipulations or conditions on who you forgive either.
Amen.
Did y'all hear that?
Yeah.
Forgiveness is a biggie in the eyes of God. Look at what Matthew chapter 6, verse 10 says. This is the Lord's Prayer. And Jesus said, whenever you pray, pray like this. He said, in verse 10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, in verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do y'all see that? We forgive. God, forgive us for our debts. Forgive us for our trespasses. Forgive us for our sins as we forgive our debtors, our trespassers, those that have sinned against us.
Amen.
It's conditional. It's conditional. God said, I'll forgive you if you forgive.
That's right.
You forgive, I'll forgive. Now, take it a little bit further. Verse 14. Matthew 6, 14 and 15. Look at this. Highlight it. Circle it. But get it into your heart. For if you forgive men their trespasses, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You don't need no special revelation for that.
That's right.
That's cut and dry, they say.
Amen.
Jesus said, if you don't forgive, neither do I forgive. Jesus said that. Y'all hear that?
That's right.
That's why forgiveness is such a huge deal in the kingdom of God. Forgiveness, if you don't give it, you don't get it. If you give forgiveness, you receive forgiveness. I can't imagine the people that's going to get to heaven one day and thought they was forgiven. And the Lord says, did you ever read Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15? Did you ever read that? Did your preacher ever tell you that if you forgive, I forgive? Did you read verse 15 where it says, if you don't forgive, I don't forgive? Listen, folks. This is the word of God.
Amen.
This is not to be sugarcoated.
That's right.
You don't need to tiptoe around this and think, well, I can still hold in my anger and bitterness and unforgiveness if I want to. Well, go ahead. You sure can. But you're going to pay the price for
That's
it.
That's right.
Amen. You're going to pay the price for it. Billy Graham said, he believed 75% of the patients in hospital would be made whole if they would forgive. Why did he say that? Because unforgiveness is tied to physical infirmities. It will dry your bones. It will open the door for the floodgates of hell to attack you. It will dry up all your joy. I went to pray for a lady one time. And some of y'all have heard this testimony, and I'm going to do it quickly. This lady had cancer, incurable, eat up with cancer. It was all through her lungs, through her, in her bones. It was through her body. They said, there's nothing we can do for you. They wouldn't even open her up to even look at it. They said, you only got like 3 months to live, and that's it. That's death sentence. I was asked to go pray for this lady. I didn't know her at all. Never seen her in my life. I told the lady's daughter that I would. I said, I'll go see you, Mama, on Sunday afternoon after church. I went down there and I prayed all the way there. I said, Lord, you know this lady. How do I pray for this lady? She has a death sentence on her. She's good as dead, according to what the doctors say. And the Lord spoke to me, said, she's dealing with a lot of unforgiveness, and you got to get her free from it. This is what's going to take her out. It ain't the cancer. the cancer came in because of the open door of unforgiveness. And I went down there and I was talking to this lady and finally got to the point. She began to talk to me and she wasn't saved. She didn't go to church. She's probably, I don't know, 50s. And early 50s maybe. And she began to tell me a little bit about her life. And one of the things that she was angry about and actually had a murderous spirit inside of her was her father. She hated her father's guts. Hated him. She said, if I could ever see him, I'd just kill him. He molested me when I was a little girl, over and over and over. Does she have a right to be mad? She does have a right. She's been severely scarred. And I told her, I said, ma'am, I said, there's a death sentence on you. You have cancer, incurable. There's no hope. I said, but the only hope you have is in Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can change the situation for you today. These doctors cannot. I said, your life is in his hands. I said, I must tell you that you must find it in your heart to forgive your father for these sins that he's done against you. She said, oh no. She was adamant, I am not doing that. I said, ma'am, you're going to die if you don't. I said, your only hope is to forgive. I said, God's grace is sufficient. If you will try to forgive your father, I said, the grace of God will kick in and he will give you the grace to actually forgive your father for what he's done for you, did to you. And she thought about it, man. And I said, you don't have a choice, really. It's to live or die. She said, I'll try. I said, that's all you have to do. I said, Jesus will meet you right where you are if you will try. She said, I'll try. And she started by saying something like, Jesus, help me. Forgive my father for what he did to me. The day I choose to forgive him, tears started running down her face. I could see things were beginning to break. When she said those words, her heart began to explode with the love of God. And the chains that she thought she had put around her father were actually chaining her up. She was in bondage to the unforgiveness. And the unforgiveness was eating her up alive. And it was destroying her from the inside out. And that's exactly what cancer does. Cancer is bad cells eating up good cells. And it was eating her alive. And when, after she prayed that prayer, it was genuine. I said, now I can pray for you. Before, it wouldn't have done no good. It'd have been just like laying hands on an ice, on a hot hand on a piece of ice. Don't get nowhere. But listen, when I prayed for her after she prayed, I put my hands on her according to the word of God and just prayed a simple prayer. When I did, when my hands hit her head, I'm telling you, it was like a lightning bolt came out of heaven. It hit her so hard, it knocked her 5 feet. She went stumbling back into the wall like somebody had hit her with a sledgehammer. I said, whoo! She said, my, what is that? I said, that is the power of Jesus that just came upon you. She said, I ain't never felt nothing like that before. Woo! She was just shaking her head. Amen. And you know what? She called me 2 or 3 weeks later. I can't remember the exact timeline. But she had went back for some more tests. And when the tests came back, the x-rays came back of her body, they couldn't find a trace of cancer nowhere in her body. And that woman is still alive today. And that was back in the year of around 19, 99. That woman's still alive. Cancer was gone. The unseen hand of Jesus went in. When she forgave, the power of God was released into her life, and she was healed and delivered and set free. Y'all, unforgiveness will stop the power of God from flowing into your life. It will stop the blessings of God into your life. It will stop up your joy, and you'll be the most miserable person on the face of the planet, and it's because you're holding in something that you need to let go of. They may be somebody here today that say, man, my heart has been stepped on. It's been broken. I'm scarred. I'm hurt. I'm angry. And I don't know what to do with it. I'm here to tell you this morning, Jesus is waiting on you to say, Lord, I forgive these people. And may you forgive them. And I release them from that debt that they owed me. I release them in Jesus' name, and I ask that you bless them, help them. May they get saved, born again, and washed in the blood of the Lamb. And whenever you do that, you are getting yourself free from harboring in bitterness.
Amen.
The Bible says, let me read this to you, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Y'all hang on now. Don't lose focus. Talking to somebody here today. I'm trying to get you free from prison. You ain't got to be in a Morgan County hotel to be in prison.
That's right.
You can be sitting in church and sitting at your house in your lawn chair and still be in prison.
Amen.
Prison to what? Unforgiveness. Prison to bitterness. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, it says, looking carefully. Look careful now. Y'all ever been going to cross a busy highway? You better stop and look careful. See what's coming, amen?
Amen.
Bible said, look carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble. And by this, many become defiled. Bitterness. A root of bitterness. When somebody makes you mad, you get bitter. And it's like a root inside. A root has many different tentacles. And it can go from bitterness to hatred to resentful, to revenge, to murder, to unforgiveness, all kind of stuff just growing out of bitterness.
That's right.
It's called a root of bitterness. And you got to be careful. Nelson Mandela was living in South Africa. And because he had a political view that the government accepted, they locked him up for something he really didn't do for like 20-something years. And while he's sitting in jail for 20 years now for something, no crime, that'll get to you. Anybody ever been accused of something that you didn't do? It's one thing to get accused of something you didn't do. You didn't like that, but you're still at home.
That's right.
Well, let them lock you up in prison for 20 years for something you didn't do. And you sitting there in that cage, that small cell, for 20 years thinking about how wrong you've been done for 20 years. That makes you more miserable. Nelson Mandela said this. He said, to hold in bitterness and to become bitter is like drinking poison thinking it's going to kill the other fella that you're mad at. He said, that's like you drinking the poison thinking it's going to hurt the guy that hurt you. It ain't going to hurt you. Hurt them. It's going to hurt you.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
And when he got out, he got elected as president of South Africa. But he learned something about how to deal with bitterness. A lot of folks in the church today still walking around with bitterness, unforgiveness in them. Because if you ask them to smile, you can't get them to smile. Everybody in here have been through something.
That's right.
Everybody in here got a scar. But I tell you what, if you want to get it washed away, Jesus can put it under the blood.
Amen.
And he set you free. You can walk out of here a free man
Amen.
Today. I've had my share of offenses in ministry, in family. You know, as a husband and wife, you got to forgive your wife. Your wife has to forgive you. If you don't, you're going to be in a divorce court.
Amen.
That ain't no joke. If a marriage don't have forgiveness in it, you ain't going to make it.
That's right.
That's just the bottom line. You ain't going to make it.
Amen.
You have to learn to forgive one another, because marriage ain't about everybody being perfect every day. Anybody that's been married knows there ain't no such thing as everything every day is always hunky-dory.
That's right.
We don't always see eye to eye, but we love each other with the love of God. And when one does wrong, we forgive them.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
I remember years ago, a man tried to split this church. And he left the church and got mad and went around town telling everybody this, that, that, and telling all these lies about this church. And man, I had every opportunity to jump on the wagon and just kind of defend myself. That's the first thing you want to do when somebody falsely accuses you of something, is defend yourself.
Right.
But the Lord told me, he said, don't say a word. And then he reminded me of Jesus Christ. After they spit in his face, they plucked his beard, put a crown of thorns on his head, beat him on his back. Yet, when he was nailed to that cross before he left here, he looked out over all those people that had spit on him, all those people that had done him wrong, and caused all that pain. And he said, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they have done. Please forgive them.
Amen.
He wasn't going to leave here unless he had given them the forgiveness they needed.
That's right.
Because their blood, his blood would have been on their hands. He said, Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they've done. But after all that pain, anybody ever spit in your face? Did you forgive them? He said, whoa, that's a biggie. Well, listen, they spit over and over and over in Jesus' face. But he didn't walk in unforgiveness. He didn't hold in bitterness. He let it go. And when he let it go, he was able to go straight on up to heaven. You can't go to heaven with all this bitterness and anger and unforgiveness in your heart. You got to let it go here. Amen.
Amen.
But that man that had said all these things, I didn't say a word. Oh, my flesh wanted to so bad. And my flesh really wanted to.
Right.
I felt my forearm getting warm. I wanted to get back in the flesh, man. But I said, I can fix this myself. The Lord said, no, that ain't who we are no more. And I said, okay, Lord, just, I'm learning, I'm growing. I had to walk in the love of God and walk in forgiveness. I didn't say a word. Probably a year went by. I'm still pastoring this small little church, and he tried to break half of it up. Anyhow, one day, I got done preaching, and I was outside in the parking lot, and I seen that man pull into our parking lot at the church. I wonder what he needs. He come up, and I walked over. He motioned to me to come. I walked over to the window of his car, and he looked at me, and he said, Stacy, he said, it took me a while. He said, but I was wrong. I was wrong. I asked you to forgive me for what I did. That took a while. But you got to give the Lord time to work on folks.
Yeah.
I never did have no unforgiveness in my heart. I was not resentful. If I seen that man, I would be kind to him, love him. But he had to get that off his, out of his spirit, off of his heart.
Amen.
And when he said, "Would you please forgive me?" I said, "Man," I said, "it's done." I said, "I ain't been mad at you." I said, "Jesus already took this away from me." He said, "But I had to come." He said, "The Lord told me to come and get this off my chest." I said, "Well, you forgive him, man. You can go." He went in peace.
Amen.
And I stayed in peace. But y'all, you just got to give time. Don't take the bait. Let it go. Tomorrow you get up, you go to work, somebody may have got your job or got your promotion. Don't get offended. Your boss might not have done you right on the job. Forget about it. Buy your boss man a meal at Waffle House or something. Take him somewhere, get him something to eat. But don't walk in unforgiveness. Don't be bitter. Don't ruin your life. The devil wants you to take that bait. Don't do it.
That's right.
Y'all stand with me this morning. This is for somebody here today. If you're watching us by media today, it's our honor to come into your home. I pray that this message on love of God and the forgiveness of God blessed you.